Well, good morning, Sunrise Community Church Online. You found us, because if you didn't find us, you're not watching this. We are so glad to have you here this morning. Ironically, we've been talking for quite a while about how we can start to live stream our services on Sunday morning, in addition to having people, you know, on site here, but also be able to let people that are out there on the web, whether they're in another country or down the street, that want to be a part of Sunrise Community Church. So the debut of Sunrise Community Church Online, here we are. Boy, what a time we are living in right now. Isn't it crazy? I was driving down Greenback this morning. It was very quiet on Greenback, and then I passed Winco, and the parking lot is jam-packed with everyone trying to go get toilet paper. And who knows what? People are going crazy right now. And our desire here as a church is not to go crazy. Our desire is to be a light in our community. Our desire is to be a people that are bringing hope when people are nervous and scared and have fear. Our desire is to be bold about the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And so that's who we are. We believe that this decision to cancel our gatherings, our physical gatherings here, is one that was not based upon fear or cowering to the government or anything like that. Is not politically based, but is truly based upon desiring to play the right kind of role in our community. One of those things, and I was convinced on this when I was driving into church this morning. This is a verse that's near and dear to me, because I think like 30 years ago, I got pulled over by a cop, and he saw the Bible sitting on my seat beside me, and he ended up letting me out of the ticket. But he said, "Mr. Carey, you need to go home and read Romans 13 in that Bible of yours." And so I want to read Romans 13 for a second, just a little bit. It says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." Get that. There is no authority except that which God has established. And this is a letter, or this is Paul writing to people in Rome. Get that for a second. This is Rome, all right? And he's talking in that context. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has established or has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and it will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. For your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. And our governing authorities have said, right now, we believe the best thing possible to minimize the effects of this virus and to keep, I think many of you have seen that curve where thousands and thousands and thousands of people get sick and it overwhelms the whole health system, to get that curve flattened out. We agree that this is the best move, that if we can take 3 or 4 weeks and not have gatherings together and give people some space and help our entire culture, our entire society, be able to slow down the effects of coronavirus, we think we're being good citizens as part of that. So that is the heart of the decision here. We believe this is not a political decision, nor is coronavirus a Republican or Democrat virus. It is going after everybody, and so we want to be wise about that. But here's the thing: is we also want to be trusting in God, and God is not a God of fear. He is not a God that stirs people up. In fact, if you think over history, it was the church, when these kinds of things would happen, that would step out into the community and into the culture and be the light. And I'm encouraged that during this season, even if our doors are closed in this campus, that doesn't shut down the church. That doesn't shut down our ability to represent Jesus Christ in our neighborhood, to represent Jesus Christ still in our jobs, even if we're doing our jobs virtually. I had the greatest opportunity yesterday to come home from bringing my kids home from school and to see my neighbors standing out in the street talking. And guess what I did? I went out and talked to them with a 6-foot separation, of course. But this is an incredible opportunity we have. Most of our kids are going to be out of school for the next month. Now this is the interesting part. I heard that over at Carnegie Middle School yesterday, I'm sorry, the day before yesterday, on Friday, when word came out as the kids were coming out of school, that there was just massive celebration. So, you know, these kids are like thrilled. We get a month off of school. And the parents are like, are you kidding me? I've got to stay home with my kids. And I don't want to lessen the fact that for some of us, this is going to have some significant financial implications and so on. But God may be doing a new work through this. God may be giving us time and space with our kids. God may be giving us time and space with our neighbors. God may be giving us opportunities to find out somebody who is more susceptible to the coronavirus and to having some, you know, being in a vulnerable spot. And God may be giving us the opportunity to take them toilet paper or, you know, whatever resources to bring them meals. So please, let's not go hide. Let's not avoid each other. We just might want to keep, you know, a little distance and be wise. And, you know, if you've got a fever, I would probably highly suggest you stay away. But let's get out there and let's love people and let's be the church. I think we have a great opportunity. Some of you are asking what this looks like. And so one of the things is we aren't making any commitments beyond the end of March. As Governor Newsom said this last week, that the current request is for people to avoid these gatherings until the end of the month. We're going to stick with that until we hear something different. So we don't know how long it's going to go, but we're going to be watching daily because obviously we've all been watching daily and this thing changes constantly. For the next few weeks, we're going to be recording our Sunday services. I got a little secret for you. We're not live right now. We are in the kids check-in room, what we call the Welcome Center here at the church. And we're recording this on Saturday. So every once in a while, I might get the dates mixed up. But we're hoping to soon be able to start live recording our services and with that be able to have live worship in those services. For now, and you're like, well, where's the worship music? Well, you know, maybe you could stream your favorite worship band or something like that. We may be putting together some Spotify set lists that we can attach to these videos so you'll be able to see the worship music that we would have had in the service. Let's see, what else? Some of you said, well, can our small groups keep meeting in our homes? Absolutely. There's nothing to say a small group of fellowship of people shouldn't be getting together, for sure. I have the leaders in the high school ministry have said, well, Sunday morning, why don't we all get together at one person's house as high school leaders and we can kind of form an intentional community there. And, you know, I'm trying to think back of when did believers get together at someone's home on a Sunday morning? In the book of Acts, right. It's there. It's in the Bible. And so this is something that is maybe us getting back to a little more basics, that communities can develop that are in people's homes. And maybe you get together in a home and watch the service together. It's going to be available online permanently, so you can watch the service later in the week if you want. Some of you have asked, will Luke be doing some of the preaching? Now that this is all online and in video, is Luke going to be doing it? You better believe it, because we involved Luke in our decision-making meeting that we had on Thursday, and he's excited for the opportunity. So you'll get to see him a few times broadcasting from Canada and sending it over the waves and down to us here. So we'll get to have Luke doing some of our preaching. Some are asking, are all events that we're doing on campus canceled? The answer to that is, for now, yes. For this coming week, beginning today, March 15th, and moving on, yes, all events on campus are canceled. That could change. So just be watching. Our office will remain open during the week, Monday through Thursday, during our normal business hours, 8 to 5. So that's still going to stay the same. Our preschool is closing for this next week, and we'll be reevaluating during the week. And again, following along with guidelines from the state and from the state licensing board. Some of you ask about, well, what about giving? Is the church going to survive without having an offering? You know, if we don't pass the plate or the bags, is the church going to survive? We have this amazing tool called online giving. I love it. And that, it's awesome. I love it. You can give using a debit or credit card. There are a lot of different options, and I'll talk about that here in just a second, too. But it kind of comes down to this, is what is our prayer for Sunrise Community Church? And this is what I pray. I pray that people who call Sunrise their home would become a light in their neighborhoods. I pray that we would talk to our neighbors more. I pray that we would expand our communities at home and at work, whatever that could look like. If you're an introvert and you say, I don't know how to start a conversation, guess what? There's this one huge conversation starter out there right now. It's called the coronavirus. You got something to start talking about. But I pray that you'll be able to talk to people and to show them the love and the peace and the action that comes with being a follower of Christ. We pray that communities that you have developed within the church would continue to grow and connect. We pray that in some way we would become a church that looks out for the greater need of the community and not just ourselves. And like I said before, if we find someone who's in an at-risk category, bring them food, bring them toilet paper. I'm sick of this toilet paper thing. But that we would make sacrifices for others, that we would show compassion, that we would show peace, that we should show them, that we would show them Jesus Christ through our actions and through our words. And so let's show the community around Sunrise who God has called the church to be. And that is a beacon of light and a beacon of hope. So the camera's still rolling, and I realized I kind of made a little flub there. So Carter's going to edit a few things here. But one of the things we talked about just a minute ago has to do with how Sunrise is going to do financially in this season. We are trusting God that He's going to provide. But we would expect, if you call this your church home and are part of Sunrise, we would expect and hope and pray that you continue to give. And if you're used to only giving by dropping something in the offering on Sunday morning or a check and that kind of thing, we do have some great other options. And so we're going to flash a slide on the screen, and it tells how those options work. But one is we have this really cool thing called text giving, and you can text the letters Sunrise CC, S-U-N-R-I-S-E, CC, to the number 77977. And with that, it's a very quick setup to be able to either use a debit card or your checking account or a credit card to make either a one-time donation or an ongoing donation. You can go to our website at sunrise.church/give, sunrise.church/give, and be able to go through those same options of one-time gifts, ongoing gifts, or if you're the kind of person who say, I have to write that check. Feel free to drop that thing in the mail, and you can send it into the church, or you could even stop by our office here at the church Monday through Thursday between 8 to 5, and we'd love to come out and wave at you from at least 6 feet away. That's a joke. Kind of. Anyway, so let's pray for a moment for the offering that will be taken online this morning and through different ways. Lord, we thank you that you are in control. And I thank you that Sunrise is a church where leaders in our past have put us in a place where we don't have debt and we're not in a spot to be panicking financially. And I thank you that we can be in that spot. And I pray that you would just take the resources that are given through the offering this week, Lord, and truly that it would go into meeting some incredible needs that are in our community and beyond. And so, Father, would you do a great work through this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm back here right now, and one of the fun things that we get to do this morning in our first ever online service is to actually do a little missionary commissioning. And so we have today with us Hillary Stanovic and Dave Crossan, who's on our mission commission, and Dave is going to take over at this point.
Ohayou gozaimasu, which in Japanese means good morning. And it's my privilege once again to commission one of our short-term team members. But maybe that title isn't exactly perfect, because short-term teams in the past at Sunrise have been 1, 2, or 3 weeks, and Hillary's only going for 2 years. So,
and then who knows what after that.
That's right. So I'm very excited. She's even more excited about where she's going. She's going to Japan. She's going 160 miles north of Tokyo to Tamura. And put it in perspective, that's like Sacramento to Shasta, California. And she will be ministering in a program called Wakakusa. Pretty good.
Wow, nicely done, Dave.
Wakakusa, an English program where she, along with 15 other teachers, will be involved in assisting in an ESL, English as a Second Language, teaching program for people in the town of Tamura. And the principal of that school started that school 15 years ago. He's a Japanese believer. And so Hillary will be a part of that team. And their goal is to share the love of Christ through their teaching to the people. As you probably know, Japan has a very low rate of Christians, like 1% or less. And, you know, what does that word Christian mean? Well, it can mean all kinds of things. But it will be exciting to see. They're going to be Jesus with skin on there. Now, they are going in about a week to another town far, far away, Ohio. And they're going to
I think that's a state, Dave.
Oh, that is. Okay. And they will be in Ohio for a week on orientation and training. And then the team, Lord willing, will be flying to Japan. And so the important thing for all of us is, how do we pray for Hillary? And it's a challenge because it's 2 years. You know, it used to be 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Yeah. That's easy to remember. But how do you remember how to pray for her for 2 years? Get out your pen and paper and write down, here's some prayer requests for you. What do you think, Hillary?
Sounds great. A quick shout out to choir. I'm sorry I don't get to sing with you guys this Sunday. I told a lot of you, I'll see you on Sunday, but since it's a little different now, I just want to say goodbye to all of you, and it's been great doing ministry with all you guys. I'd also like to say, Osewa ninarimashita, and arigato gozaimashita. I love this church, and I've been so grateful for how you guys have taken care of me and have shepherded me over the years. So thank you so much for your love and support and your ministry all these years. So I'm really sad to go, especially with all the great new things that are coming up here. But, you know, when God calls you to go somewhere, you have to go.
Absolutely.
So prayer requests. First of all, just with time management before I leave, that all the ducks will be lined up and all the loose ends will get tied up there. And prayer for team unity. Some folks that are part of the program are haven't renewed their contracts, so they're heading out in March. And those of us folks that have just been newly hired, we just want prayer that our team will be unified, so that way we can love Jesus and do ministry together the right way as a united body in Christ over there in Tamura. I'd also like prayer for visa items. I just got my visa paperwork in earlier this week and turned it in at the Japanese consulate. So I have to go back next week to pick it up, and just prayer that that will go smoothly and I'll be ready to go document-wise. And also one last prayer for the people in Tamura. It's a town that's south of Sendai, where the Tohoku earthquake was, where the tsunami was in 2011. And I'm also going to be in the same prefecture where the Fukushima power plant is. And I'm not telling you that for safety, but just for prayer for the people's hearts that they'll get ready to receive Jesus. You know, when you've seen disasters and different situations come up, it makes you ask the big questions as to why am I here? What's the meaning of it all? So I just ask that God, that you pray that God will get the people's hearts ready to receive the living hope that's in Jesus and not in worldly things like items and possessions and such. So,
fantastic. Dave, would you do our prayer of commissioning?
I can do that.
Normally at church, we kind of reach out our hands to whoever's up front. So I don't know. You could reach out to your TV if you want or to your smartphone. But would you pray for Hillary?
I will.
This morning.
Father, what a privilege it is to come before you this morning. And we bring Hillary Stanovic to you. You know her well. You knew her before she was born. And so, Father, I just thank you for the call that you've put on her heart. And Father, I just pray that everything will work as they've planned with everything that's going on down here with the coronavirus. Father, I just pray that there won't be interruptions of plane flights or anything that would deter their going. So, Father, she has asked that she needs your help in making sure this visa that she applied for last week will be approved this week as she goes back to San Francisco. Father, I ask for team unity with 15 teachers, all being strangers perhaps to each other. Father, I just pray that the ministry would be productive and not interrupted by disunity. So, Father, thank you for your help in there. And then, Father, I just pray for the people of tomorrow, that their hearts would be open because of different disasters that they've been a part of in the last couple of years. Father, I think you prepared them for what you're preparing for them, and we'll thank you for that. So go before them. Father, would you nudge us with your Holy Spirit to be good prayer warriors while she's gone? And so, Father, we'll just thank you, and we commission her on behalf of Sunrise Community Church and the Mission Commission, but most importantly, we commission her in your name as you've called her and you're sending her. And it's going to be so exciting to see the greatest work that you're going to do in these 2 years will be in her heart. So, Father, we're excited to hear what that will be in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
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 All right. Thank you. Thank you, Hillary. Thank you, Dave, for being with us today. And you are free to go as you wish. You can go right that direction. It's all awkward right now. So kind of in the transition, the next thing we have going on, we've had a few changes here at Sunrise over the last year. And one of those, as you know, is back in August, our student ministries pastor, Michael Siebert, stepped down and he and his wife followed the Lord to ministry at Liberty University. And we've been going for the last several months with an incredible team that has been running our high school ministry specifically. And I think none of us anticipated the process going as long as it has. And so the decision was made recently that we need to get someone officially in an interim role as we do a national search for a new student ministries pastor. And so I am thrilled to let you know that just this last week, we were able to introduce to our high school students the new interim director of high school and college young adults ministries. There's a mouthful. Please welcome Brad Jenkins. His wife, Laurel, is here with us this morning. And come on in here. I am so thrilled about this. Like, first off, I think one of the things that I love the most is there are a lot of people out there in TV land right now that are going, hey, they look familiar. Like, maybe we've been supporting them on the mission field. Tell us a little bit about who you are, because you're Sunrise people. Mm-hmm. And so tell us a little bit about it. You have three kids who obviously are not here this morning, and we're probably happy for them and for us with that. But tell us a little bit about your kids and what you've been doing for the last 15 years, and then I got a couple more questions for you.
Okay. So, yes, we have three kids. Our oldest is 13. His name is Landon. And then we have a middle kiddo. His name is Jackson, and he's 9. And our youngest is Gracie, and she's 6. And for the last 15 years, we have been in Europe. So it started with Sunrise sending us out to Germany, and we did youth ministry on a military base in Ramstein, Germany. And we had four full, fruitful years on that base. And one of the things we did is we took our leadership kids and we did a mission trip to Slovenia. And Slovenia is a small country in Central Europe, and it was part of some of the countries that were known as former Yugoslavia.
Okay.
And, And so we took our kids on mission trips, like our kids from Germany, and we took them to mission trips, and we ran English camp in Slovenia. And through that, the Lord made it really clear that He was calling us to move to Slovenia. So for the last 10 years, we've lived in Slovenia, and we and our goal was to do two things. So one, we wanted to start a youth ministry or be a part of starting a youth ministry in our city, in Maribor, where we were living. And also, there was a national couple that we planted a church with, and we wanted to support and come alongside them. And we were able to do those two things, and the Lord just made it really clear that it was time for us to come home. And so we're back.
And so here you are. You're back at Sunrise, and I know our church has changed a little bit over 15 years. I have a couple of questions prepared for you here. So tell us, and Brad, maybe you can answer this. Now you're back in the U.S., what is next for you, kind of beyond this interim role that you have here at Sunrise? What are you looking toward doing?
Yeah, so our identity has always been, especially in the last 15 years, is to be on mission, to be discipling youth, to be a light in a dark place. And so as we're transitioning back, it's really hard to figure that out. What's next? How are we going to transition back to America? And it really feels like the Lord has been leading me to be in the public schools and to be a teacher.
Awesome.
And I still want to be around youth. I want to still be about discipling youth, just in the similar yet different way here.
Okay, so and I know it's not exactly easy to get into the public schools.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a process that might involve classes, student teaching, that kind of thing.
Right.
So you're doing that right now.
Yep.
And maybe a part-time youth director role might fit in really well with that.
Yeah, it fits in great.
Awesome.
I love youth ministry.
Tell us what excites you the most about this role and getting to work with our students here at Sunrise.
Yeah, so discipleship is a long journey, and so different adults have been extremely influential in my life as they've come alongside me and spurred me on to follow Jesus and to obey Him. So that's our goal, is just to come alongside the youth for this amount of time, to come alongside the staff and say, hey, let's just do this together, and just to be any help that I can be to the staff and to the youth.
Awesome. So just to kind of make it clear, we have Hunter Wenzel is our middle school director. We have Brad now that is overseeing our high school and our college age young adults, and excited to just be in this season. So can I pray for you guys real quick?
Sure.
And then we're going to jump into what's next. Lord, I thank you so much for Brad and Laurel and bringing them to us. And what an amazing part of the Sunrise family that they have been, and that we've been able to support them over these years. I pray that you will give them strength in this season of transition as they look towards what's next, as Brad does lots of classes, as they kind of figure out school for the kids and all that. But I also pray that you'll give them wisdom and that he'll be led by your Spirit as he leads our high school students and our college age students. And God, would you just do a powerful work in the name of Jesus through them? Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you guys very much. I'm glad you're here this morning. And kind of one more thing before we kind of transition into the next thing is we have this summer, Lord willing, we're going to be taking our students up to Hume Lake. And that is right around the corner. We've opened up registration for Hume already, starting for Wagon Train Camp, which is our 8-year-olds and up, our middle school camp, as well as high schoolers. And so I'd love you to watch this video right now as it tells a little bit more about what God does in the lives of students at Hume during the summer. And so check this out, and we'll be right back.
camp, I thought that I was in a great place with my relationship with God, that it couldn't get too much better than this.
I was a kid who wasn't really going to church every Sunday. And
I didn't really understand who God was and what was supposed to do in His Word.
I don't think I really knew what that meant at the time.
Whenever people ask me, like, this is your first full day of camp and you gave your life to Christ, like, what does that feel like? Why did you do it? I would just tell them, like, I've never followed or believed in something that's so incredibly real.
No! That's actually really good.
Go. We need to remind ourselves when we're in that sinful place that Jesus has the power to make the darkness tremble.
Some of you have called yourselves Christians your entire life, but you've never actually looked to Jesus through His Word to tell you how you should live your life. I don't think you can respond to the gospel with anything but your entire heart.
We will never be able to become followers of Jesus unless we also let go of the thing that's getting in between us and God. And what is that thing?
During this week, God's revealed a lot of significant truths that really I can apply to my life.
We can't just go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and be like, oh, that's it. We have to keep on reading the Bible and studying.
A Bible is just the way to get to Him, a way to understand Him. And once you do understand Him, you can connect with Him more and really hear Him talking to you and hear His path.
I've always had that camp high of just reading the Bible every day, never sinning. You know, those things don't happen. And I've always had that camp high of you do it for a week, maybe a month, maybe a few days, and after that you just go back to your normal self of sinning every day.
It's not supposed to end here, and then this is my last year here, and so this is my launch pad.
Before Hume, I was hopeless, and now after Hume, I am found.
There's nothing that we can do to separate us from God's love.
I was a believer in God, but now I'm choosing to follow Him.
I would just say my goal is to be the man of God that I've always wanted to be.
I'm a follower of Christ. I want to follow Christ.
It brought me closer to God.
I know more about God and He knows more about me.
Today is the day that I'm gonna stop doing all those sinful things and be close to God.
Jesus is love.
Jesus is powerful.
Jesus is awesome.
I know where I stand in my faith, and I know that I can be vulnerable and open with friends and family because they're not just there to be the friends and family. They're there to care for me and to love upon me. And so I know that I'm going down the mountain as a child of God, and I know that I'm going down loved by Him.
Okay, we're back and done a little editing there, but it's time for our, we're going to call it this morning a little bit of a devotional, and you could call it a sermon if you want, but I want to spend a couple of minutes in the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, and this is a story that's recounted in Matthew and Mark as well in their Gospels, but this is the story of the day that Jesus calmed the storm. And so let's read along together. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And so they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Luke, this story is just a fascinating story to me. And I think, and I've heard it repeated several times in the last couple of days, When people start to get fired up, they're wondering what's going on with the coronavirus. I hate to beat a dead horse, but are we going to have enough toilet paper? Panic kind of sets in. And we all put ourselves in that boat with the disciples. And so let's kind of set this into context for a second. First off, this is taking place on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus has just finished talking to large crowds, preaching to large crowds, and he gathers his core group of disciples together and go, let's get in a boat. Let's go over to the other side. Let's get a little bit of respite here. Let's take some time, maybe even some Sabbath, who knows, and get away. And as they go out onto the Sea of Galilee, and this is kind of the north part of the Sea of Galilee where this is most likely happening, this squall happens. And I've been educated by people much smarter than me that this storm comes in from the other side, from the east, and it kind of moves out over and comes over the area where the Sea of Galilee is, and it can happen very quickly. And so the storm comes up and kind of creates some panic. Have we had any storms come up lately that have maybe started to create some panic? So Jesus is... next point here. They get in the boat and they sail along. And you notice in verse 23, it says, as they sailed, he fell asleep. And so as they're going along, it's waters are calm, and Jesus says, I'm going to get a little bit of rest. And he goes down and he takes a nap. He falls asleep. I wonder how many times have we wondered if Jesus was asleep. And maybe he wasn't paying attention. I don't know. But we can make a fairly clear statement here that when you're in the boat with Jesus, and sometimes it may feel like he's asleep, there's a good chance that there's a storm that's going to come up when you're following Jesus. So it goes on in verse 24. It says, the disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Now, I think it's important to stop for a second and realize they don't know how to swim. I seriously doubt that they don't know how to swim. I have yet to find any kind of recreational swimming happening in the New Testament. And so my guess is they're looking at this going, this storm comes, and there's only going to be a little bit of driftwood left of this boat out here in this lake. Like, they're going down. They're going to die. But I think it's interesting to see that their view of Jesus is being developed in this story. I wrote down in my notes here, when they say Master, Master, that's telling us that they see Jesus as their leader, but they don't necessarily see him yet as their Lord. They don't yet see him as God. And their view of him is being slowly shaped by the events that are going on. But up to this point, they had yet to become completely convinced that he is deity, that he could truly control this. And I'm not sure what they thought he was going to be able to do by waking him up. But no matter what, they truly did not have the complete understanding of his sovereignty, that he was right there in the boat with them, even though it appeared that he was asleep. So it goes on to say in verse 24 that he got up and he rebuked the wind. And believe me, I've tried to rebuke the wind many times and it has not worked. It says he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. And Jesus in this moment is revealing his deity. Jesus in this moment is saying that he is more powerful than the wind, that he is more powerful than the rain, that he is more powerful than any force that could break apart that boat that they were in. Jesus rebuked it and it stopped. And it says, all was calm. And as I've studied this passage in the past, sometimes I get frustrated with this passage because he looks at his disciples, like in verse 25, where it says, where's your faith? And I think in my humanity, I would think, come on, Jesus, like, give them a break. They really don't understand who you are. But he just looks like, come on, guys, where's your faith? Wait, haven't you seen those miracles? Haven't you listened in on the teaching so far? I've been talking about and showing you who I am up to this point. Now, maybe for the first time that your own personal life is at stake, you're looking at this a little differently. And I think that's probably what was happening with the disciples. Up to this point, they had seen the miracles happen to other people. They had seen Jesus preach these words to other people. They had seen Jesus rebuke the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But now it became personal for them. Where is your faith? And in that moment, it says, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands the winds and the water, and they obey him. I want to ask you this one simple question this morning. Sunrise, online community, who is Jesus? Is he the one who can rebuke the wind, the waves, the coronavirus, the toilet paper that's missing in the stores because I can't get it? Is he the one that can deal with this or not? Because either God's on the throne and God is in control and he is in charge, or he isn't. I know that he is on the throne. And the reason I know that he is on the throne comes from my own personal story of loss, from times not only in loss in my own family, but in loss and tragedy and losing jobs and things like that, and where I've come back at the end every single time and seen God faithfully walk with me and faithfully walk with my family through those circumstances. And he's done it before, and he's going to do it again. And because of that, we can rest in the knowledge and the fact that we have the God of the universe that is in the boat with us. And even if he gives us a little bit of a rebuke, that's okay. Because he's looking at us and saying, hey, remember what I've done for them? Remember what I did for that person, for that paralytic over there? Remember what I did for that person? I'm doing it for you today. And God's doing that for each of us. And so I have hope because of this. I have hope that we're going to go out there as his disciples with confidence, with boldness, knowing that our sovereign God, our faithful, good, loving, sovereign God, is going to do a great work. And so I'm challenging you today, get out there and be the church in our community. We're gonna do something a little different as we kind of close here this morning. We're going to have some questions that we're putting in the Facebook feed that is associated with this video today. And in the coming weeks, we're going to be doing the same thing because we'd really like to consider maybe this is a time where you could have a short message from one of us. And then have some discussion afterwards, whether it's with your family or if you're meeting with a life group or something like that. So we're going to flash three questions in that discussion area on Facebook. And one of them, the questions are going to go like this. So you can ask these to each other or to yourself. Who did the disciples think Jesus was when they got in the boat? There was this point, they're getting into the boat. What is their thinking? Who do you think that they thought Jesus was at that time? Was he God yet in their eyes? Who did they think he was when they got out of the boat on the other side? That's the second question. And the third question, that you're going to see here is, what is my view of Jesus in this story? Is it like the disciples when they got in the boat? Or is it like the disciples when they got out of the boat? Is Jesus just this kind of good guy that's been doing these cool things? Or is he God that has done a miraculous work in your life? And those are our questions for this week. Let's pray together. And then I have one more final announcement as we go. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you are in control. I thank you for the fact that that the coronavirus is just such this mild thing for you. And yet, Lord, it is something that is so real and very much in front of us, not just as people in Fair Oaks, not just as people in California or the United States, but literally all over the world. And yet you're in control of that. I pray that we would be great citizens of this state and this locality. And I pray that we would be great citizens of heaven and of your kingdom. And Lord, would we be light? I pray that we would be light to our communities all around us. I pray for our body. I pray for those that that are feeling lost right now, even in community, that you would show them their community around them, that you would encourage them today. And I pray especially for those during this virus who have lost loved ones in this. I pray that for those who are deathly ill right now through it, Lord, and I pray for healing in their bodies. I pray for understanding of your sovereignty, and Lord, would you just do an amazing work that only you as sovereign God can do, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sunrise, I need to let you know, your pastor and leadership team absolutely loves you, and we're kind of navigating this side by side with you, trying to figure out our way from day to day, but knowing God's in control. We're still planning. We're still planning on things happening next month. One of those, which is Easter. I don't think the coronavirus can stop Easter from happening. And so we are going to be celebrating Easter in one way or another. My guess is we'll probably be back together and be able to do that. I'm hoping so. And so we're going to continue our plans on Friday, April 10th. We will have a Good Friday service at 7 p.m. on Saturday, April 11th from noon to 2. This is going to be the annual kids egg hunt that's happening here, and there are going to be food trucks. And it's a great community event, and we're believing God's going to allow us to be able to do this. And then on Sunday morning, April 12th at 9 and 10:50, we'll have our normal Easter services. So that's the plan for now, and you can check out more information on our website. I've got a little card I'd love to hand you, but I can't. And just want you to have a great week. Know that God loves you, we love you, and we're excited for how he's going to work. God bless you.